Hello, I'm Hugh, as you know. I'm already jealous of XML over there. Sage, who I work for, we haven't got XML first, we haven't got XML last, and we've actually got XML rarely. So my presentation is going to be a little bit more basic. I wish it was as wonderful and with that kind of workflow as with Hodda. Maybe I'll give you some pointers from the other kind of side of things. Sage, does anyone know who Sage are, vaguely? One person, because you worked with me. Well, I'll give you that. Sage are an academic, mainly textbook publisher and journal publisher. We've been around since the 60s, and we make kind of books for second and third year university students, postgrad students. In the areas of mainly research methods, education, things like that. It's a very brief overview. And today I'm just going to talk about how we approach accessible content. I do tend to move around a bit, so I'm sorry for the filming. I like pictures as well. I also tried to be copyright nice, so we chose Alice in Wonderland this time. Am I okay with that? Yep. This is the brief agenda. Just going to cover what we did, why we did it, how we did it, the impact of those changes on Sage, the results that we saw, the problems that we encountered, recommendations, any questions and stuff at the end. And we've got a few resources which might be of help. Now, firstly, apparently, as part of my brief, I had to be here because we won an award for doing this stuff. The Publisher Lookup site was set up maybe 2-3 years ago by the Publishers Association and JISC Edits to try and make it as easy as possible for people to request content. The main problem for any customers, librarians, trying to get hold of electronic content was who do they contact? In a publisher. So they would go to the publisher and it maybe end up with the generic at Sage email address, or it'd end up in the sales department, customer services. Nobody actually owned that. So what the Publisher Lookup website tries to do is take all the participating publishers and just get their contact details. There's a lot of other information on there. But the most important thing that we found in speaking to customers is that it's basically just under here, if you scroll down, there's a list of publishers and contact details. On the Sage it says Hugh with my email address. And it just makes things so much easier. You'd think, why didn't they do this before? But it did make a big difference. And out of Publisher Lookup, there came an award. That's me. So I'm getting the embarrassing bit over first. I was told to do this. We won an award.
Yeah,
honest. Woo! Great. It's the first thing I've won since I was 8, which was the Millennium Falcon. I was very happy. This is actually me. I'm in that
You're
photo.
You're a good looking one, actually.
Yeah, oh, bless you. Actually, what I'm doing in this photo is trying to grab it. And he's going, we're taking a photo. And I'm just like, give it here. I haven't won anything. 30 years. So we won an award for library services. All the librarians could take part in the UK and vote for who they wanted to win the award, who gave the best service to them in providing content. And we won. It was great. And I'll talk a little bit more about it later. This is some of the feedback. I like this one at the bottom. It makes me wish Sage published everything that my student needs, which is quite a nice thing to say. And this thing's about getting the book quick for them. And we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. So why did we do it? This is a kind of feeble attempt at kind of talking about things falling through cracks. What was happening at Sage, and from experience of talking to librarians, it was happening at other publishers as well, the disability librarians were contacting publishers and never hearing back, or it taking so long because it ended up in the sales department or customer service, pushed around. Nobody actually knew who handled it. So we in the rights department, I work in the rights department, took it by ourselves to, we'll do that. Early on, it was quite difficult, mainly because the electronic content wasn't there. I joined Sage in 2003, so the archive at that point was very patchy. There wasn't really an archive. So when we really started to ramp up doing things for our ebooks and for accessibility, I built an archive of our content. And it basically involved going through all the folders of our production teams, marketing departments who were archiving material in vague areas, in kind of folders that said PDF or Thursday or something like that. It was basically the kind of account of going down the back of the sofa and finding stuff. And you found hundreds of these things. And it really, it was driven by people requesting accessible content. And finding all this content, we found hundreds and hundreds. We've got now thousands of PDFs. And we made them available as ebooks. So it actually informed our decisions in our producing our ebook program. So it was mainly trying to plug those gaps, as it were, and make a better customer experience. Now this, imagine yourself in a lecture theatre. It might be quite difficult. Actually, it's quite difficult to fit in these, I must admit. They're quite small. Sometimes you go to a lecture theatre and you see everything and you've got the book in front of you and it's all in colour, it's all great and everything's perfect. Sometimes it's not quite so perfect. You can't see the screen too well. The stuff perhaps on the screen isn't so good, like maybe this. But you can still read it, you can still access it. Now imagine if you can't see it. If all of you closed your eyes at this point, can you imagine how difficult it would actually be to go to university? It would just be absolutely impossible. And it was, literally, so difficult, even 10 years ago, to make a difference or actually go to university, access those books. So you would be in a lecture theatre just listening, and it's making it 100 times more difficult than actually being able to refer back to notes or books. So this was kind of our reasoning behind it. We just thought it was right. This is a quote I quite like from someone, I can't pronounce his name, Jorge Luis Borges, maybe. A writer, Argentinian writer. He also became head of the National Library in Buenos Aires. In the 50s, he also went blind within a year of becoming the head of the library. Speak of God's splendid irony in granting him 800,000 books and darkness. He went on to win lots and lots of awards, mainly because he got people to read to him. He had lots of assistants who would read books to him, and he had a wonderful memory. And what we do is provide electronic content that can be read out. Again, why do we do it? There is a legal requirement. Hugh's going to mention, other Hugh, as it were. We'll mention that and talk about that in more detail later. Customer focused. We realised that we wanted our books to be read by everyone. It's a simple thing. Everyone should have access on an equal level. And again, it's just right. It's the right thing to do. We're providing content. We shouldn't keep it from anyone if we can possibly do so. And the opportunity came along. This is a page from Alice, for those of you who've read it, of course. Digital has created an opportunity to put knowledge and education into the hands of all. People can magnify the screen, they can change the font, they can change the colour. They can have it read aloud. It has democratized education. So what did we do? We had a meeting, as you do. There was a rabbit. There was someone in a hat. And we discussed what could we do? What were we doing now? And what could we do in the future? And these are all kind of basic things. We looked at ourselves, in the looking glass, we studied the response times for what we were doing. Sometimes it would take 2 weeks before it got to the right person. The workflows, how we actually responded to those queries and how quickly we did that. About our archive. drives, the fact that we didn't have any, and contact access, about who to contact, who was responsible. So these are really basic things and basic changes that can be made. How did we do it? We reversed our workflows. So at that time, I'm now rights and digital sales manager, so I do ebooks and the rights side. At that time, we were looking after permissions and translations and all kinds of things like that. So those things you can make money out of. So the business likes them. I decided it would be a good idea to do the thing that prioritise accessible copies, which are free. So it was maybe a bit tricky to actually sell that to the business in terms of, we want to do this first. It's free. We're not going to make any money out of it, and it's going to take me some time. They kind of looked at me a bit strange. But we did. So we reversed it. So as soon as we get a request from a visually impaired person, or more specifically a disability librarian, we do it. We process that request as soon as possible. We aim for 24 hours. Mostly we do 10 minutes just to get it out there and to give an equal playing field for students with their fully sighted counterparts. We streamlined the request process to one step. So they'd send us an email saying we want this book. We'd send them back an email with the file and the terms and conditions saying you can do this. Fantastic. Well, again, fast turnaround. It was a global project. Sage is originally a US company. We have offices in India and Singapore. The three main publishing offices are in LA, in London, and in India. So we did it across every office. So each office does the same thing in terms of fast turnaround. We employ clear, simple usage rules. You can do this, you can't do that. Very straightforward. Please don't circulate it to all your friends, but feel free to copy, paste, do whatever you like to make sure you can get the benefit of that book. And we try to up the visibility of this service on our website. It's not perfect at the moment. It's something we're going to develop in the coming months. But making sure that people knew who to contact and what we could do for them. Just making sure both within the company who to send the request to, and externally who to actually approach. And that has been really greatly helped by being a member of the Publisher Lookups website. How do we get buy-in? As I said before, going to senior management and saying, I've got a great idea, I want to prioritise giving away stuff for free, kind of worries people. But fortunately, we have the Sage Vision. I'm not sure if other companies have a vision, like Google, don't be evil. I want to do be evil. Sage Vision statement is very long. We could talk about it for ages. Wouldn't be very interesting though. But the main bit of it that I was interested in is disseminate research on a global scale to all our possible customers, to everyone, to make sure that everyone can get hold of that content. When our senior management thought about this, they just said, yes, okay, makes sense. I'll talk about more of the reasons, more of the benefits perhaps a little bit later, but they were very much for it. We went to them and explained their point of view, explained the relative amount of time that it would take us. There aren't that many requests, but they are growing, and how much it would cost. They were really interested in how much it would cost, because it doesn't cost anything apart from time. 10 minutes, we'll race. How did it
take your time?
You've got 5 minutes. Okay. How did these changes impact on the wider business? There was minimal disruption. It actually made life a lot easier, especially internally, in terms of everyone knew who to go to. There was, if we've got a VIP request, they go, oh, well, that goes to Hugh, and they'd send it over to him, and they'd forget about it, and it'd be brilliant to him, to me, third person. So it did cause minimal disruption. There wasn't any huge changes, there wasn't any huge investment. We just built an archive by year, by month, organised all our PDFs by And they are all PDFs, I'm afraid, by ISBN, so we could find them and send them. It was quite straightforward. That in the system actually caused an increase in ebook availability. We now have 2,500 ebooks because of the processes put in place for designing our accessibility project. And as I said before, simplified internal communication and external as well, but that's the main changes on our business. Outwardly, now I've put two words on here that I can never actually say, but the first one beginning with Q, it's very difficult to actually see how it's affected our sales in hard and fast terms. Quantitatively, it's really created a lot of goodwill amongst librarians for Sage. There was a lot of librarians, you saw the comments earlier, that voted for us. A lot of those librarians actually buy print copies as well, buy e-book copies from the aggregators. So we've actually got quite a good reputation amongst the library community because of this. I think it has driven sales. We just can't pinpoint. It's basically impossible to say, oh, we've got that sale because we were nice to people through our accessibility. But we've also increased the number of accessible copies we deliver to people. We started off, it was probably maybe 50 a year, 2003. I imagine that this year will be around 750. It was close to that last year. So it's growing and growing. It's probably not a day goes past that we don't get a request from somewhere in the world. Results. We've met our customer needs. Basically, we can deliver content to anyone that needs it. That's the most important thing to us, and that's very important to Sage as a whole, and as part of the reason why we've set up. We are still an independent company. It's very much about, there is the aspect of, you know, making money and all that kind of boring stuff, but there is a very important aspect about disseminating knowledge, about making sure people can get hold of that knowledge in the way that they can actually use it in the format that they require. As I say, librarian relationships have improved. Librarians can be a difficult bunch sometimes, demanding, but they like us for this one. And it has informed our publishing decisions in designing new platforms. We do have some XML, and we are building an ebooks platform. Quite lean on this. What is this? It's a bit of break. We are building an ebooks platform at the moment. That will be launched in June. It's got 2,500 books on it. They all will be in XML, so it will be fully accessible, and we'll be able to use those files for delivering content aside from PDF, because all this we've been doing at the moment is with PDF. We very rarely get feedback saying we can't use PDF, which is good. They're generally using it as text-to-speech. But I would say 99% of all the requests we get are happy with PDF. Sometimes they request Word files, but unfortunately Word files don't tend to exist in Sage. The manuscript we get is in Word, but it doesn't have any of the finalised content, graphs, things like that, images, so it can be quite basic. But PDF for us has worked.
Did what you're doing impact on social methods online?
It did, yes. So we made that into the product as we were designing it, to make sure. And we had a good reputation from Sage Reference Online, which was the predecessor to that, in terms of the accessibility. We tend to do very simple platforms. You can make things a little bit too complicated for anyone, let alone someone who is visually impaired. So it has informed our decisions in that way. Just making things as simple as possible. If you want to get content that can be viewed on any device, say, for instance, if you wanted to go down onto a mobile phone screen, you're following the same kind of workflow processes as making it available for the visually impaired. it will improve your content and how you can actually distribute it. I could go on about this for ages, why should you do it? But basically, from my own personal point of view, it's just because it's right. It does make a difference to people's lives. I have countless stories of visually impaired or print disabled people that we've helped over the years that have actually, I got one last week, who's she wrote to me saying that she finished her MA, now doing a PhD, mainly based on Sage books. And publishing can be a lot about troublesome authors and making money, but there isn't a single interaction that I've had with a disability librarian or a visually impaired person that hasn't actually made that day better. It just makes you feel good to be a publisher. I know that might sound a bit cheesy, but it's kind of true. Now, these are the three things that I'd recommend actually really looking at. I know I've touched on them before, but contact details, it's really simple things. But if you go to some publishers, it's very difficult to see who to contact. Make sure that the details are on publisher lookup, and make sure that they're on the website clearly advertised. Make sure the responsibility is defined. In a lot of publishers, it isn't. For Sage, it all comes to me, so it's kind of simple. For other places, it isn't quite that simple. And content archives, ill-organized and patchy. I think a lot of publishers are really getting on the bandwagon with ebooks now, so they are organizing their archives, but it does make a real difference if you can actually find the content to send it out. Again, they're simple rules, but they do make a huge difference to the kind of speed with which you can actually reply to requests. Recommendations, again, centralize all requests so you can stop the queries falling through the cracks. Communicate, tell everyone within the company, I do this, and tell everyone externally through the website so they know who to contact, and make sure that you keep up to date with current trends, articles, what's going on in the industry. Just as a little side, this is what's really popular for us at Sage. We publish across the social sciences, but counselling in particular is the most popular. I'd say probably 80% of all the requests we get for VIP copies are for counselling. I think mainly because a lot of visually impaired people have become counsellors or would like to become counsellors, and there's a lot more people going to university now that they can get access to the books. Counselling for us, especially this book here, which is requested every week, is a huge area. 2 minutes to go, we're almost there. Plans for the future. We have a new website landing page, which will be much more accessible, much more visible, and clearer for people who are visiting us. We're doing a partnership with Bookshare, who are a company in the United States, about making that content available there. Inclusion in the Tiger project, which is going to be a worldwide project to make content accessible through WIPO. We're doing a lot more EPUB conversion this year, XML conversion. I have a new position. Instead of being rights and digital sales manager, I'm now going to be digital sales manager, but I'm taking accessibility with me, so we're taking it much more seriously. It's going to be a bigger part of my job. Is publishing closer than we think? I think we are. I think we've actually made a huge step forward over the last few years, mainly because of being able to with digital content. It is making a real difference to people's lives. It is making people, giving people the opportunity to go to university. We're not there yet, but with things like EPUB 3, which was mentioned earlier, and the merger with DAISY, we're going to have content that is accessible to all. We just need to make sure that it's not blocked off with terrible DRM or horrendously difficult platforms or e-readers. We just need to make sure that it's as simple and easy to access content as possible. 2 minutes done.
Well done.